Thank you, Brian. Good morning. God has a message for us this morning in the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Mark, chapter 7, 24 through 30. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Happy Mother's Day. The Lord's provision and a mother's faith. We have been looking at the extraordinary earthly ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at the words that He has preached and taught, and at the great miracles that He has performed, and at the reason why He became incarnate here on earth. At first glance, this passage would appear to show a different side of Jesus. He seems to display an uncaring or an indifferent attitude towards the plight of this Syrophoenician mother and her young daughter. In actuality, nothing could be further from the truth. It is only when we understand the context of this portion of Scripture that what is really going on becomes clear. It is important that we get a clear picture of what Jesus is doing here. So we're going to start out by taking a broad look at where this portion of Scripture falls, and then narrowing down our focus to get a closer look at God's provision and at a mother's faith. Before we go any further, we will ask the Lord for His help. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You on this Mother's Day that You have given us a beautiful day, that You have given us wonderful women to raise us, to nurture us, to guide and direct us. We pray, Father, for You to give us eyes to see this morning and ears to hear the message that You would have us gain from Your Word. Open our eyes, Father, open our ears, open our hearts to what You would have. We give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In most of the passages that we are going to look at this morning, bread is a very important component of them. I want us, as we go through these passages this morning, to see bread that is talked about as God's provision for us. When we speak of God's provision, we are talking about all that God gives to us, all that God provides for us. The next breath that we take, this beautiful day that we are enjoying, our salvation, are all things that God has given to us. That is God's bread. That is God's provision. This interaction we read about between Jesus and this Gentile woman falls in the book of Mark between two huge miracles involving feeding of bread and fish. The first we have talked about was the feeding of the 5,000. And then we have, just shortly after this, the feeding of the 4,000. Our scripture takes place between those two miracles of God's great provision. We come to our passage with this mother's plea this morning to Jesus. And after this, Jesus travels through the Decapolis, the 10 cities which are Gentile cities along the Sea of Galilee. And then we have the feeding of the 4,000. Now, this is all pretty clear and straightforward in the Bible, but I want to add another layer of understanding to give us something to truly think about this morning. And hopefully that will help us to see a little clearer in regards to the event in the scripture that we are looking at this morning. Because it is very important for us to understand. When Jesus feeds the 5,000, He was in Jewish territory. When Jesus feeds the 4,000, He is in Gentile territory. I will say that again a little differently because, as I said, it is important for us to get this. Prior to our scripture, Jesus provided for the children of Israel. After our portion of scripture, He provides for the Gentiles. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus, as we know, sent His disciples across the Sea of Galilee. He disperses the multitude and He goes up to the mountain to pray. A storm rises up and Jesus walks on the water towards His disciples. And in Mark 6, 51 and 52, then He went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves, beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. The disciples did not understand what Jesus was talking about when He fed the 5,000. They would eventually come to understand, but at this time, Jesus still had more to teach them. We remember from Matthew 15 when Peter is saved by Jesus on the water after he, Peter, had gotten out of the boat and walked towards Him. Peter sees the wind and the waves and begins to sink. Jesus reaches out and saves him when he calls out for help. And then Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When Jesus goes into the synagogue after that night, He proclaims that He is the bread of life. He is the provision. All who come to Him will never hunger. All who believe in Him will never thirst. The Pharisees and the scribes come from Jerusalem and ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples eat bread with unwashed hands?" Jesus tells him and the multitude that it is not what goes into a person that defiles them, but what comes out of them that does. Food enters and is eliminated, but sin comes out of a person and that defiles them. In that one exchange, Jesus purifies all foods and in essence makes the divide between the Jews and the Gentiles null and void. God's provision does not defile. Prior to this, if you were a Jew, you ate only clean animals because to eat an unclean animal made you defiled. If you associated with as a Jew or ate with one of those dirty Gentiles, then you were unclean, you were defiled. When the Jewish people crossed over from the Gentile lands into the Promised Land, they would shake the dust from their feet because that was unclean, as opposed to the dust in the Promised Land, which must have been spotless, right? After this confrontation with the Pharisees and the scribes, we get to the passage that we are looking at. From there, that interaction, he arose and went into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. Jesus departs the area around the Sea of Galilee and heads up into the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is Gentile territory. It may have appeared at first glance that he was heading up there to get a break from the multitudes that had been following him everywhere he went. Maybe he was hoping to get some rest. Jesus, in everything he did, God, in everything that he does, has a purpose. And that purpose was Jesus had an appointment in that region with that Gentile woman. This is a divine appointment. It did not happen by chance. God has a purpose in a plan, and that plan, he is sovereign over it and everything that happens regarding his plan. Jesus had fed the 5,000 with bread and fish. He preached in the synagogue that he is the bread of life. The Pharisees and the scribes accused his disciples of eating bread with unwashed hand. Bread is God's provision, and it is very important in the ministry of Jesus. It is the symbol that we have talked about of God's provision for man. Whether Jew or Gentile, Jesus is God's greatest provision for man. His sacrifice on the cross for us. Without that, we would not have any hope of reconciling with God. God provided the way, and that way is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus goes into the region of Tyre and Sidon. Do we remember Elijah the prophet? How he was sent roughly to the same area that Jesus had gone into, and through the power of God delivered a number of miracles to another Gentile mother in 1 Kings 17. Zarephath, where he was sent, is between the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus was in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Why did Elijah go to Zarephath? Because there was a famine in Israel, and God sent him there to provide for him. He meets this Gentile mother and asks her for water and a morsel of bread, which she could not spare, but did. After which Elijah provides bread for this woman during the famine and resurrects her son when he dies. God, provision. In 1 Kings 17, 14 through 15, we read, 1 Kings 17, 14 through 15. This is God speaking through Elijah. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. God's provision. Jesus referenced Elijah being sent to the widow in Luke chapter 4 when he is rejected at Nazareth in the synagogue. People marvel at the things that he teaches and preaches there. But then they question him because isn't that Joseph the carpenter's son? In response to this rejection, Jesus said that there were a lot of widows in need in Israel during the famine. But God sent Elijah to this one Gentile widow, the widow of Zarephath. Jesus then goes on to say that there were many lepers also in the land of Israel. But one of them was cleansed, was Naaman the Syrian, who was not a Jew but a Gentile. And to the Jews, this angers them because they were the chosen of God. They were rejecting the provision of God, and those provisions and blessings being given to one who was not a chosen person but a dirty Gentile riled them up. The irony here is that they are standing in the very presence of God rejecting him and getting angry at what he's saying about these others rejecting these blessings and them being given to Gentiles. This was more than likely on Jesus' mind as he goes into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And this Phoenician mother seeks him out. One more example of the Jews rejecting the provision of God can be found in Numbers 14, 9 through 13. Numbers 14, 9 through 13. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. This is when they had spied out the land of Canaan before going into it, and the Jews had said, nuh-uh, there are giants in that land. It's not for us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. God fed up with the nation of Israel. They had rejected his provision by refusing to go into the land, and he was ready to wipe the slate clean and give that blessing, that provision to somebody else, somebody who would accept it and would appreciate it. Getting back to Mark 7, 25 through 27, we read, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. We have the condensed version here in the book of Mark. Mark's sole focus was on Jesus and his ministry. In Matthew 15, it says that the woman cried out to Jesus saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. And in Matthew, it is related that after that plea, Jesus does not respond to her. She cries out again and again, to the point where even his own disciples are saying to him, send her away. Instead of doing that, Jesus answers her and says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel, the lost house of Israel. In Matthew 15:25, we read this. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. This woman was a mother, and her child needed help. She was not a Jew, and she was not even supposed to speak to a Jew, but here was Jesus. She recognized him for who he was, the Son of God, the Messiah. His own people did not recognize him for who he was. His own disciples were confused about who he was. But this woman, this Gentile woman, this mother knew exactly who Jesus was and who Jesus is. She recognized that he was the only one who could help her child. Remember what she said? Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Now in seminary we learned that Lord, Son of David is a messianic title. When you call somebody Lord, Son of David, you are recognizing them publicly as the Messiah. And calling him that, she is making everyone aware of the fact that she knows he is the Messiah. And she falls at his feet and worships him. This, we read, is how Jesus responds to that. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. At first, this almost seems like Jesus is essentially saying to her, you are not a Jew. You are not one of God's chosen people. Get lost. But it is only upon looking at it closely that we realize that is not what he was saying. That is not what he said. What he said was, let the children be filled first. Jesus was not ignorant of God's plan for the world and all who were in it. But God does things in His own time and not in our time. God sent Jesus first to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel, God's chosen people. First the Israelites, and then the Gentiles. And Jesus then uses this analogy that the children are to be filled first. It is not good to take what belongs to them and give it to others. The term he uses is little dogs. And at first that may seem derogatory towards this woman. But Jesus is merely saying that the bread that I have brought, the provision that I have, is meant for the children of Israel. This provision, this bread, was meant for and first offered to God's people. Jesus would not have been fulfilling his mission if he gave what was intended for God's chosen people to the Gentiles. This woman was a mother, though, and she was not going to give up. In Mark 7:28, we read her response to Jesus' response. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." God's provision, even the crumbs, would have been enough for her because she knew who he was. Yes, she is not of God's chosen people, but she is one of God's creation. And the crumbs of what was offered first to God's chosen would be enough. I will take the crumbs that fall from the master's table, because she knew who the master was. And she knew that the crumbs that fell from his table would be enough. Think back to the feeding of the 5,000. 5 barley crackers, 2 fish, a boy's lunch, and because of God's provision, it fed 5,000 plus. God's provision, in whatever form he chooses to manifest it, will be enough. It will always be enough. Anything is possible with God. He provides and sustains us, but if we reject what God provides, if it's not good enough for God's chosen people, why wouldn't he offer it to someone else? If we flip forward to Luke chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Luke chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, we read, when Jesus is speaking to the 70 before he sends them out to declare the word of God, to give God's provision here on earth, this is what he says to them. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon." Remember, a Gentile region. "It will be more tolerable for them at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you," that's the 70 that are going out to proclaim, "hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Jesus was not being callous or unfeeling towards the mother in speaking to her that way. He could see her heart. What was he doing then in telling her that? He was testing her faith. You see, Jesus was surrounded by people who did not know him and did not believe him. They did not know who he was and they rejected him. God will allow things at times to come into our lives that test our faith. We remember back when the disciples were in the boat and they were sure that the end was near. And Jesus asked them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" And we know the rest of the story. He rebukes the winds and the sea, and there is great calm. We think to when people, usually their non-believers, say after some disaster, "Where was God?" That is no faith. At best, that is little faith. God is right where God always is, and God is doing what God has always done. His plan is unfolding exactly as it should. That is where God is. That is where our faith is, even when it is tested, if we belong to Him. In Hebrews chapter 10, 22 through 23, we read, I realize we're jumping around a bit. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 23. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. We think back to the Syrophoenician mother at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Him, begging Him for help, telling Him, "Master, I will take the crumbs that fall from your table." That mother had faith, and her faith was tested. Jesus, who had said that His disciples had little faith, say this to the Gentile woman and mother after her response about the crumbs. Listen to this. And she answered and said to Him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then He said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." But I want you to hear what it says in Matthew 15, the same exchange. Again, Mark is solely focused on Christ. Matthew goes a little broader. In Matthew 15, 27 through 28, and she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumb which falls from their master's table." And Jesus says this, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Great is your faith. Let it be as you desire. This woman, this Gentile, this mother of a young daughter has been saved, and her daughter has been healed. She had her faith tested, and she passed the test. Great is your faith. Can the same be said of our faith when we are tested? We remember the centurion, also a Gentile, who recognized Jesus and was so humbled to the point of not even feeling that he could approach Him, not even have Him come into his house. He sent a servant because he saw himself as not worthy. Jesus remarked about not finding such faith anywhere in Israel. We think back to Jesus saving the Samaritan woman at the well, also a Gentile. And we come to see a fuller picture that Jesus came to save not just God's chosen people, not just the Israelites, but all that the Father would draw to Him, both Jew and Gentile. We read in John chapter 10, verses 15 through 16, as the Father, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. Do we belong to that flock? Do we know that shepherd? Much of what Jesus taught flew in the face of Jewish thinking at the time, and much of what Jesus taught flies in the face of our society today. But it does not change the fact that it has been God's plan all along. God is making His name known throughout the nations. The kingdom of God is available to all kinds of people from all over the earth, from all walks of life. It does not matter who you are, if you are a Jew or you are a Gentile. It does not matter where you are from. It does not matter what you have done in your past. God has a place for you in His kingdom. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would pray that you would come and talk to us afterwards. It is not too late, but one day, maybe soon, it will be. We would love to be able to answer any questions that you might have or to share in how you can come to know Him as your personal Savior. God's provision is there. Do not turn away from it. Do not turn away from Him. For the rest of us, God has provided and continues to provide for us. We must not fail to accept God's provision or to praise Him and thank Him for it each and every day. On this Mother's Day, I pray that we take the time to thank God for His abiding presence in our lives and His bountiful provision for us. Again, happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing and the richness that we find in every page of Your Word. Praise You, especially this morning, for mothers everywhere. We thank You for Your message. We thank You for Jesus and His earthly ministry being sent to the cross to die so that we could be reconciled to You. I pray that You bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.